proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, and I'm bringing you another radio Bible study. We have been looking at messianic prophecy and focusing on the predictions relating to the Messiah in the Psalms. A number of verses in Psalm 40 refer to the mission and the ministry of the coming Messiah. A number of New Testament authors employed these passages with reference to Jesus Christ. The 40th Psalm opened with the writer of the Psalm celebrating the situation from which God had delivered them. After several verses in that chapter, the subject changed. The author then penned these words, introducing another speaker. Quote, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine eyes hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." Unquote. At first glance, that assertion seems strange. Under the Mosaic Law, God established a Levitical sacrificial system as the way by which a sinning Jew could become reconciled to God. Burnt offerings and sin offerings constituted vital parts of that plan. A closer reading of the text in Psalm 40, though, would indicate that the speaker referred specifically to himself with those words. In other words, God would not require any kind of sacrificial offering to be made on that speaker's own behalf. Such words could not have possibly applied to David. After all, David committed some pretty grievous sins. Only someone who had never transgressed could make that claim mentioned above. That is to say, not needing any kind of an offering. Only Jesus Christ fit in that category. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, that apostle described the Lord as, quote, "a lamb without blemish and without spot," unquote. In the second chapter of the first epistle, Peter reiterated that the Savior had, quote, "did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth," unquote. The author of Hebrews likewise confirmed that Jesus Christ was indeed without sin. During his first coming, Jesus Christ stated that, quote, "I do always those things which please him," that is to say, the Father. This is in John chapter number 8. Living a sinless life constituted one way whereby Jesus Christ glorified his Father. Submitting himself and subordinating himself to his Father's will also demonstrated his commitment to giving honor and glory to God the Father. And yet another way that the Lord showed his submission to God the Father was by obeying him. In Psalm 40, the foretold Messiah exclaimed these words, quote, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart," unquote. The two advents of Jesus Christ to earth manifested his desire, his willingness to yield to his Father. On the first occasion, according to Luke 10, the Savior declared that his mission was to, quote, "seek and to save that which was lost." At his second coming, though, according to 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ will, quote, "deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power," unquote. In John chapter 4, the Lord informed his disciples that, quote, "my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work," unquote. Even in the Lord's final hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did not abandon that determination. Indeed, Luke recorded that Jesus Christ prayed, quote, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me," unquote. But he added, quote, "nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," unquote. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.